Good evening, everyone. There she is. Okay. Now we can sign off.
Yeah. It's nice to hop on and say hi to folks.
Yep.
Every now and again.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome especially to our latest subscribers who have joined us in the last few days. It's always nice to see new faces.
Old faces. Some of them are people that are coming back that didn't realize that they were dropped from Subscribestar. And
yep.
Always something that we're contending with,
Thanks, glad they're back. Thanks to Doug, as I always say, Doug Diamond doing the yeoman's duty, as they say in the Navy.
Yeoman's
duty, getting it all pulled together. And he is a busy, busy boy. He's got a bunch of other clients and projects and things going on. And on that flavor of discussion, tomorrow, Entangled Magazine for last month, for September, is coming out
tomorrow.
We're catching
up. We're going to catch up. Yes.
I must say, there have been a lot of events occurring this week that we've been covering, you have been paying attention to, that have been a huge distraction. Nonetheless, we are catching up.
Nonetheless, our timing could be better too.
And, yeah.
We will strive to be better.
It will be. So just before we dive into our regularly scheduled program, I was just checking the news before we went live, and I have this little story to share with you. Sudden strike. Ukrainian drones burned Russian airfield with Su-34 and Su-35 fighters. Okay, so we got that story going on. But what is really important is this story about Russia. Suspected Israeli airstrike hits near Russian airbase accused of housing weapons in Syria. This was just published in the New York Post and many other sites just within the hour. A suspected Israeli airstrike reportedly hit a Russian airbase in Syria accused of housing weapons for Iran and, as they say, terror proxies. We don't take sides here. Up to 30 missiles were fired at a target near the Kemenin, however it's pronounced, airbase in Latakia. Saying that right? Latakia, which is on the Mediterranean coast for Syria. Latakia. With footage spreading online of massive explosions near the Russian facility overnight, The Telegraph reported. The appearance of secondary explosions suggests the strikes hit a weapons or munitions depot, according to the UK outlet. The attack occurred an hour after an Iranian cargo plane, which may have been delivering weapons, landed at the base, The Telegraph said, citing reports in Syrian media. Okay. So, as we strive to do, we'll put this in context. This is poking the bear.
It's more than a poke.
Again, there are three ports along the Mediterranean coastline that were struck. And let me get back to see if it was in here.
Oh, the map.
Yeah. Anyway, there are three ports along the coast of the Mediterranean in Syria. The issue here is that, as we've reported here all week, Russia is about to sign with Iran a mutual defense pact and an economic pact, which is going to be formalized at the BRICS meeting in Russia on October 22nd, 23rd, 24th. There does not need to be a signed agreement, as you can well appreciate. Russia is already supporting Iran. I think for 2.5 months we've been reporting here that Russia has been supplying Iran with air defense systems in general. I said in the last live stream, and I want to emphasize it tonight, Russia has said to Ukraine and to the West, if there is a massive air campaign that threatens the sovereignty of Russia, that Russia reserves the right to respond as it deems necessary. This could be conventional or otherwise, but it would be targeting nuclear states and non-nuclear states that are in support of whatever air campaign that might have been directed at Russia. The result of that is that Putin had lowered the threshold, had modified the nuclear doctrine such that they reserve the right to strike with nuclear weapons against the West. This can be picked up and carried over, as I said in the last live stream, to applying to the sovereign nation of Iran, because now there is this defense agreement, which is very much like the NATO agreement, that if you attack one NATO nation, all the NATO nations come together in support. If you attack Iran, Russia comes to support Iran. Now, Russia has been directly struck by Israel. Excuse me. Russia has been specifically targeted and struck by Israel. The port cities of Syria are north of the Lebanese northern border, adjoining Syria. This is a very serious situation because now Netanyahu has directly attacked Russia, sovereign Russia, indirectly by attacking not only the Russian armaments and aircraft, apparently a couple of Su fighter aircraft from Russia were hit, but this is attacking Syria, which is an ally of Russia. In Syria itself are several thousand Russian forces, military forces, posted there. And indirectly, of course, this drags in Iran. So we've been waiting for Israel to retaliate against Iran's latest missile barrage. And then what will Iran do? Well, now we have to look at it, and this is the bottom line, and we'll move on. When, it's not a matter of if, when Israel, this whole thing pivots around Israel right now. What will Israel do in retaliation against Iran? Will they strike Iranian territory directly? I think because they've hit Syria and Russia, there's no doubt they're going to go directly against Iran. It's only a question of what weapons will they use, to what extent, to what scale, and will this draw the United States in during this retaliatory strike? I think it's a foregone conclusion the U.S. will. It's again a matter of what weapons, what extent, how big. All we can do is wait and watch and pray. When you hear the discussions about Iran, as I've been doing lately, Iran/Russia. If you hear about Russia, Russia/Iran. These are now common enemies, common foes of Israel. Yesterday, the reports came in that Netanyahu attempted a very rushed and persistent phone call with Vladimir Putin, and Putin rebuffed his phone call. Then we have this strike in Syria. So, it's about where things stand at the moment.
All sorts of wars and rumors of wars.
Yep.
We can't also forget, behind these physical battles that we're seeing, we know that there are very, very serious foretold spiritual events, spiritual motivations. And as we are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, We are by no means supporting or propagating any type of warlike environment. But it was foretold in Scripture that these things would be happening.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to keep in mind that behind Netanyahu, who himself is a Kabbalist, the Kabbalists are waiting for the return of their Savior, who is not Jesus Christ. Logic will tell you who they serve. So they are behind also this warlike attitude to bring about their Messiah, who is not our Messiah. He's not Jesus. And so he is an anti-Christ. And so we need to keep this in mind as we are looking at what it is that is causing them to move ahead the way that they are. I think what I see is going to be used next because of the United States being linked with Israel, knowing that a lot of the evangelical churches in the United States were prepared many, many decades ago for this time. They were bought and paid for. I still get things in the mail from APEC asking me to donate money. Of course, they just get tossed in the trash, but that was from my days, and it was decades ago when I was the rah-rah rally, night to honor Israel across the nation, leading groups of people over to Israel for the Feast of Tabernacles and the International Christian Zionist Center. I was in a cult, and that's how I see this now. And God had many of us in those situations where he has, well, actually not many, but has called us out and be able to stand back and see what it was that we were involved in. It was totally, totally a political anti-Christ movement, and that's what Zionism is.
Yep.
That's what Zionism is. It is a cult. And unfortunately, it also has its claws in our political system, which is why the United States is involved with this. Israel financed a lot and sort of laundered, if you will, money through the United States to give them money to fight these wars and to put forward their agendas. A lot of this money is just Israel's money going through the United States and back to them again.
We just gave them over $8 billion
a week
ago.
Yeah, well, they had to give it to us through their Israeli banks and the Rothschilds and everybody else and their central banks and, you know. So they work the money through us to give it back to themselves for what they need. They're not fooling anybody, and all is going to be laid bare in these days. But one thing that we do want to make you aware of, based on things that we have been reading, and that is, as we have talked about, them using both sides, using truth and lies to be able to achieve their agenda. The next PSYOP that is underway is the division of Christians.
Yep.
It's this whole evangelical movement that people are, there's no point, as we have discussed amongst those who listen, there is no point in trying to evangelize an evangelical about Zionism. It's only going to lead to dissension and hard feelings and another division. God, as you see, has already done the dividing by way of the mark of the beast. Many people will be eager to share their vaccinated position with you, and then you know what you're dealing with. But just continue on in your life with being respectful, being who God created you to be, but be wise. This is why he was saying be wise. As you begin to listen and people share more about their life and what they do, and you know, COVID comes around, it's just the way that whole topic and discussion comes around, And so when that does, as I always say, listen more, speak less, so you know what you're dealing with in terms of a spirit that is before you, that is in that person. You are now tasked with discerning spirits. And that means understanding who you're engaged with at that time and address your speech accordingly. There is no need, if they have told you that, oh yeah, we've taken the vaccine and I've taken one booster, but I'm not taking any more. You know, that's what they always say, I'm not taking any more. I pretty much let the conversation go that, well, you know, yeah, it has been known to cause some health issues. When I know that they've said that, I just be very respectful and say, yeah, I understand, yep. And, you know, it's probably good that you don't take any more because of health issues, yep. And I leave it at that and then I go on my way. I am not going to spend time speaking to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just not. You know, God has made this division for our benefit as well, to be able to understand what we're dealing with in this world. And he calls us to be very, very wise. We have to be very careful in our speech now. However, I believe the next psyop that will cause division is going to be amongst the Christian denominations. It's going to be evangelicals. They're going to try and make it evangelicals against everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to use Zionism as the foundation to do that. So now that you know, you need to continue being who you are and doing what you've been doing to this point. And to this point, if you are a true child of God, and I believe most of you that gather here are, and those who aren't, well, they can maybe learn something. you will just continue to treat everyone in a Christ-like manner, but with wisdom. You don't have to divulge a lot about yourself. You don't have to divulge your position on a lot of things. Be a good listener. Listen more, speak less. And because people, they'll tell you everything you need to know so that you can adjust your conversation accordingly. So just be wise, because I see this as just one more avenue that they can cause fighting and distractions and chaos.
Well, there's an interesting dynamic that you and I just noted today and prompted this conversation tonight. And that is, let's take it from a little bit different posture. A professing Christian denying the evangelical movement, saying evangelical is this, much as you have just presented, saying be wise about the evangelical movement. Who's behind it? What's the agenda for the movement?
I know who's behind it.
So you have a professing Christian who is, in big air quotes, warning about the evangelical movement. So, understanding that framework of that individual who's speaking, we also have to be wise about that individual who is claiming to warn about the evangelical movement.
Mm-hmm.
As we always do here, you have to define, you have to drill down, you have to get down to the nub of the issue, you have to vet the source.
I keep it very simple. And my mother and my grandmother always said this, and you've heard me say it a million times. Show me the company you keep, and I will tell you what you are.
Yep.
And these people have affiliations, and, you know, it doesn't take much to go to an about page and read their past and who they have, whose programs they've spoken on. You know, if they're an Alex Jones, a red flag should go off, has controlled opposition. You know, if they have political aspirations, a red flag should be thrown on the field saying, oh. You know, I mean, it's just something that I think the people here that listen to us, again, speaking to the true children of God, have the discernment now by way of the Holy Spirit to be able to detect these individuals from a mile off. They should. And if not, then continue to pray and ask God for more discernment, because this is a time where, if possible, even the elect could be deceived.
Well,
I'm not going to come out and put out a list of, you know, people, right, unless it's something that is very, very prominent, that, you know, we're getting letters from 15, 20 people saying, oh, did you hear about, you know, John Smith? Right. He said this. Then, of course, obviously we would. But for that, for the most part, you have to cultivate that discernment through your relationship with the Lord. I can't do that for you. Anthony can't do that for you. We have to do it for ourselves. So this is something that we just encourage you. So it doesn't take
much.
Let me
be specific. Let me be specific. We'll just define it, describe it as what our process is. We look to not only the background, the about tab, so to speak, but we ask the question, what's the purpose? What's the agenda? Why are you warning me? Who are you working for?
Right.
What agenda are you pushing?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a division going on. There's the wheat and the tares. We all understand that. There is a division. Well, I'll let you handle this one, but I'll give you the hint without using the word. Pray that you may escape these things.
Oh, I don't mind using the word. We are not rapture people. We are not. Because that is so steeped in the evangelical belief system, I don't ascribe to that. And we have asked people in our band group not even to bring it up. It's in the guidelines. Don't even, because I'll just erase the comment. We are sons and daughters of the living God, who had said to us, when you see these things coming upon the earth, pray that I might make a way. Pray that I might make a way of escape or for you. You know, basically is what it was inferring. Pray that you might escape these things as you see them coming upon the earth, I think is closer to the actual verse. And so that's how we pray. But I do not ascribe to the evangelical rapture doctrine. I don't. And I just, you know, I have often said, taking from Downton Abbey, the line of Maggie, what was her? She just died recently.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith.
She had a line in Downton Abbey when she told her granddaughter that she was dying. And she said, I am here until I am here no more. And that is exactly the mindset that I adopt. But, with the understanding that scripture tells us that as you see these things coming upon the earth, pray that I might make a way of escape. And so that is what I do. And you all know that.
Whatever manner and form that may take.
Whatever escape looks like.
Right.
We don't know what that is yet.
So that is a point of division. Much like the mark of the beast, separating the wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
We go to this topic, and there are other topics. The overall point here is there is division.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanisms, topics for division.
Right.
When we parse an individual who says, oh, hey, evangelical church, they're this, they're that, they're this. Okay, that's fine. I understand the message. But that is causing division. Now, there can be division for positive purposes and division for negative purposes. I question the person because are you trying to foment dissent division, argument. Are you behaving in a non-Christ-like manner?
Mm.
It isn't a matter of, well, I'm warning you. Okay, that's fine. But are you trying to stir me up to some sort of an activist level behavior?
Mm.
Are you trying to enlist me? Are you trying to put me in a position that I'm not comfortable with? In other words, that's fine. Convey the message, but then go about your business. Don't try to draw me into your group. Don't try to draw me into your congregation. Don't try to draw me into some sort of public platform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking for myself,
because
I'm not going to participate.
You know, again, we have to rise above a lot of what we're seeing here. I think as watchmen, we are called, at least I know that I and you are called, to make people aware of not only events that are happening in these days, but to relate it to Scripture. We are not and have never professed to be biblical scholars. We read the Word in the Bible as you would. We don't have Sunday services or anything like that that we, you know, preach or whatever. The Spirit comes upon us, and if it comes out as a sermon-like or preaching, well, you know, praise God.
Yep.
But it's not, we have no formal schooling that we would sit down and write out a sermon or, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of what we do is looking at the secular world and seeing it from the position and lens of our faith. And we don't always see clearly, but I think the Lord, like the Word says, you know, you see through a glass dimly, but then you will see clearly. I think he's making things more clear because we're in a time of judgment. So that means both sides have to come forward.
Right.
You know, do you want to get her? We have a cat that loves to eat paper. She loves to eat the paper.
So let's go to our scripture for tonight.
Yeah.
It's Ezekiel 33, verse 6. Yeah. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood.
Mm. So it is a position where we too are accountable to God for what he has shown to us and asked us to bring forth and relay
mm-hmm.
to people. Immediately when I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about that microneedle array patch fashioned in a snake fang manner and the technology behind that and the speaking to, you know, or corresponding, although it was brief, with Mark Prosnitz,
mm-hmm.
the main founder of Micron Biomedical, who created these microneedle array patches, speaking to his father about it. It confirmed, the Holy Spirit just confirmed it for me right there about the mark of the beast. And I said that to you. I said, this is the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, the vaccination. It will come in the form of the snake fang technology microneedle array patch eventually, because more things are going to be coming in terms of plagues that are going to require that
mm-hmm.
mRNA technology to be put into these types of patches to get them out all around the world. But we know that the mark of the beast is the augmentation of the genome
mm-hmm.
by way of synthetic messenger RNA and the adjuvants and other components.
Right. And again, we repeat this because we do have new people that join us.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Interesting, you posted in band. Again, shout out to Andy for sending this to us. Out of U.S. News and World Report, dated October 1st, these ads. Outbreak of Ebola-like Marburg virus in Rwanda, that's in Africa, has killed 8 people. So most of you, I'm sure, have already read this and understand, but this was in Germany. And let's go to the German.
Well, the German one was 2 people riding on a bus or riding on a train,
I'm just looking to see if it's on here, but it's not on this. Anyway,
It's in the Post.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in the Post.
Okay.
There are 2 or 3 articles in the Post.
All right.
That I had put up. So, I, you know, there for people to look at.
Anyway, they... The point here is disease X,
right?
Whatever that consists of,
right.
The next pandemic
that
has been broadcast by the WHO, you know, all this stuff. We don't know if it's Marburg. We don't know if it's Ebola. We don't know if it's going to be leprosy or TB or monkeypox or any of the other
or
things.
Or some combination of all of them.
Yep.
What we do know is that when we're looking, and I do have a letter that Doug will be getting out. I don't know if he'll get it out tonight or tomorrow, but it's to all of our current and even past people that have joined us, because we see the red horse riding. We see it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when I say that, I'm saying that we see it in the spiritual realm. I don't see a red horse riding across the sky. I have to be that literal for some people, and I'm sorry, but we do.
Because we get letters.
We do. But this is a spiritual red horse riding, and it just makes sense that when peace is taken from the earth and war ensues, it's more than just wars. And I had said this to Andy in band. It has to do with persecutions also, peace being taken from the earth. Chaos ensuing. From that, enter in, you know, the other horses that talk of plague and death and famine. And, you know, we can see this all happening when wars break out, supply chains break down. When plague breaks out, people are so sick they cannot go to their jobs. Therefore, you know, and everybody has to be put in quarantine and stay in their houses, because what we saw at COVID is going to be the way it goes going forward. So we see these things coming, and we can see very, very clearly this starting to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that cements it, if I may, and then you can have the floor, is that we must always, always keep in mind and do the spiritual and mental and intellectual exercises that you and I do in terms of sharpening one another. Remember always this, 80%, close to 80% of this global population has had at least one vaccine. And as you know, from the very first injection, it begins to change the human genome. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, which is given in part or measure to every human being that is born, later to be cultivated in a relationship, should they choose and desire to know the truth about God, to know the truth about Jesus, they have a lifetime, however long God deems that, to be able to choose to have that relationship with Him. Many choose not to. But the Holy Spirit departs from those individuals who have taken the mark of the beast system that is now, that was designed by technology and now is the results of that design of that technology is now in that human being. They are now in the image, made in the image of the beast technology system in which it was created. So, again, you all know that. But when you realize that 80%, the majority of this world, is without the Holy Spirit, that means they are without truth. They have no source spiritually to draw from. They have no sense of peace. They will never have peace again in their human physical forms. They will have nothing but anxiety and chaos and confusion and anger and frustration. And this is what we're seeing happening now. I'm seeing people age terribly. Even people that are young are looking old to me. They are just aging very, very quickly because there's no cellular, in a sense, regeneration. There's no mercy of God. They are literally beginning to waste away more quickly now. And
let me put a finer point on that.
Yeah.
Biologically, now we've published this, whatever it was, a year ago, maybe not that far back, but in our Entangled magazine, there's a cover with the Z that we borrowed from the Mark of Zorro, right? The Legend of Zorro. And in that, we were talking about Z-DNA, which is the left-hand twist, the left-hand conformation, as it's called, of DNA. The normal is B conformation, right-hand twist, double helix of DNA. The left-hand twist is Z-DNA, the Mark of Zorro we borrowed from. The point is, Z-DNA with a left-hand twist does not have the self-repair mechanism that is built into right-hand twist B-conformation DNA. So-called normal DNA self-repairs. This is why when we get tired, we get sleepy, we go to bed, we take a nap, our DNA is repairing. That's why we get sleepy, okay? When you take the mark, the DNA changes to a left-hand twist, no longer has the self-repair, and now they are dependent upon messenger RNA boosters, therapeutics, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And they have put themselves then in a situation where their bodies will have to continually be addressed in terms of sicknesses or disease genetically. There will be no prior way of doing medicine, if you will, the old way of doing medicine. Everything going forward now for 80% of the world is going to be based on genetic technology. And this is because they are off of God's system, where He designed our bodies to heal, to rest, to regenerate.
Now you see people aging prematurely.
They are, because
aging.
Their bodies are not regenerating. Their minds are not as sharp. Their awareness has been dulled, which is why it is so dangerous to drive on streets. Why it is so hard to get a receptionist to make an appointment and call you back for that appointment. It is why we are seeing seemingly simple tasks just not being done well. They have no awareness or concept of detail. It's very, very difficult today. And this is the frustration that the saints of God are experiencing in this world, because we see these changes happening. You know, I'd like to make one more statement concerning politics. Do not be bullied, if you will, or listen to individuals who are going to tell you that you have to vote. You don't have to do anything. I myself, and this is all I can speak from, I could not, knowing what I know now, understanding the days that we are in right now, and understanding that there is no human being, no elected official, they've already showed us their hand and what they are. They've showed us what they are, they've showed us their disgusting belief systems, their lives have been put on display for people to see, and they're shameful. They're just absolutely shameful. I see no redemption in either candidate that we have been supposedly told that we're to choose as president. That's not my system anymore. I know I live in the United States, and my father was a Marine, my grandfather was a Marine, my uncle was a Marine. You know, I understand, and they fought for what they believed in their heart, what they thought was God and country. And many soldiers have felt that way in the past, but that's not the mindset that prevails today. And I think, you know, I think that if anybody is going to come out and tell you that you need to vote to get, you know, to turn this country around, to do something, being a child of God, you're like, no, the only one that's going to do something about this is Jesus Christ. Because we're only going to get more of the same, but worse. Because these are the people who are going to just make the days that we are in, these few remaining days, even more difficult. So I will leave it at that. I have my own personal beliefs about who I feel is going to get in and what I think that means. I don't know that we should necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, we don't discuss politics here because, yeah, as I like to say, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, but I just don't want you to feel pressured like you have to vote for somebody, or you feel, because number one, your vote doesn't matter based upon the system. We saw that, we've seen that happening for a long time. It doesn't matter. And they give you a choice of two candidates, and both of them will end up
Tonight we've been speaking about the topic of division.
Mm-hmm.
And again, obviously,
yeah,
politics is very divisive.
It is.
As is the topic of the rapture, as is the topic of evangelical support of Israel. The topic of Israel is divisive.
Mm-hmm.
The topic of Ukraine is divisive. I mean,
and we can't get involved in those worldly battles. That's not, you know, Jesus had said in his word when he was talking to his disciples, he had said, this is not my kingdom. If it were my kingdom, my people would fight for me. And we are not fighting for this world system.
Right.
I don't want it to continue one day longer than it has to.
Yep.
They are all corrupt, every single one of them. Every elected official, in every government, they are all corrupt. And they answer to Satan. At the highest level, they answer to Satan. All of these people in technology, all of these people in government, they all answer to Satan. And he has a direct line to them. He really does. But we, you know, again, remember what I've always encouraged you with? I have said, Satan has his elite, but God has his elect. And we match them on that level. Even though we're nobodies, we're not seen in the world, we're not popular people, we're not even known people, we are the remnant. We are the true children of the Most High. The best title any one of us could ever ask for. Children of the Most High God. And we in the spiritual realm can go toe to toe with Satan's elite and prevail, because that is what we are called to. That is our destiny. That is what we will do when Jesus returns and we bow our knee and worship him. They will answer to Jesus. And this is going to just be an amazing time. I would say, keep an eye on what's going on in the world, but don't let yourself get drawn into it. You don't have to be drawn into a political system, a political debate. You don't have to be drawn into a religious fight over Zionism. Zionism has already revealed itself, and this is what you see splashed across the news right now with all of these wars. They have an agenda too. They have an agenda too. And just don't get drawn into the PSYOP.
Well, I also want, you know, in all this reporting that I've done here in our live streams and also on YouTube with the Pulse videos, the geopolitical discussions, I've repeatedly stated that we don't take sides. We're reporting, we're presenting the information. And we're continuing to do that, and we will strive to continue with that. So we mentioned Israel and Zionism. Let's mention what I started tonight's live stream with, and that is Russia. There are no angels in this situation either.
No.
Okay, so on the topic of Russia, the topic that I'll get into later on in the live stream is BRICS. Obviously, Russia is one of the founding members of BRICS. The long and short of the discussion on BRICS is this is setting up the new, what we've been sharing with you for weeks now in detail, this is the infrastructure of the new global economy. This is how the new global economy, whatever's left of it, is slated to operate under. Now, there's going to be a lot fewer people around, so there's not going to be much of an economy, but this is the economy that Satan will be left with. This will be post-reset. This will be the Antichrist system. This is the beast system. Not everything that they are striving for will be accomplished. The system is not going to work as designed or intended, but we are simply laying out their plans. Not that we endorse them, not that we think they're going to accomplish all these things, but just as we said about the mark of the beast and then proceeded for 4 and 5 years to talk about it, and we've talked about even before the mark of the beast, the blockchain system that we went into detail over probably 3 years, 2017. We started with cryptos in 2017 talking about them and blockchain and how this is necessary as the infrastructure for the beast system of surveillance, command, and control. Then the mark of the beast was fed in that no man may buy or sell. Well, you have the infrastructure that was put in place. Then the mark of the beast was distributed to 80% of the world. Now we have the new economic model that we're presenting to you ahead of time that consists of blockchain distributed ledger, cryptocurrency. There will be a single cryptocurrency for the world under the Antichrist. The access is provided by way of the digital ID mark of the beast, biological mark of the beast, genetic modifier mark of the beast, and now the entire economic system, the design of it, that all of that infrastructure was built for, is BRICS. So Russia is not the angel in this series of military conflicts, political debates, and military operations that are going on and economic wars that are going on in the form of sanctions and otherwise. There are no good guys in this.
No. And at the highest levels, there are individuals that literally play the world like a game. They do. They literally look at the world like a card game, a very sick card game. And we've seen some of the outworkings of that in some of the different, those real life card games that they have, you know, that will say war, famine, whatever. I mean, they're just really sick.
The Illuminati card.
Yeah, they're just really sick because they think that they're so clever and they're really not. Because God is giving insight into things that they never expected to have revealed, and they're being revealed and unveiled by way of the Holy Spirit. Somebody coming in? No. By way of the Holy Spirit. So things are being revealed, and sometimes before they want them revealed. And it's just God as judge saying, no, it's the time, and I want people to know the truth. Whether they have the choice to reject it, and 80% have. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand that this needs to happen, but they have to make it look like there's a major world war going on to crash the economy. And but they've always intended, from the days of Concordia, when we brought you George Logothetis's group, Concordia, they wanted to be and were even more important. When those people met at the UN, they would go over to Concordia, which is where all the movers and shakers were that brought blockchain together. And they are so proud of their participation.
They called it
Blockchain Central. Yes.
Within Concordia.
Yes, yes. George Logothetis happens to be one of the most wealthiest Greeks in the world. He has his hands in aeronautics, in hotels, in shipping, in pretty much everything. So these individuals got together and they basically wrote the script for the world through P3s, public-private partnerships, through politicians.
Their Libra group for cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and again, Libra was originally going to be the name of the cryptocurrency, which was a nod toward them in their participation and initiation of this. So, you know, we've known for a long time where this was coming from, where it was headed, and we just need to understand that they are playing out their instructions from Satan himself.
All of that has been folded into blockchain. Blockchain,
yes.
And BRICS. BRICS, at the heart of it, the infrastructure, is blockchain distributed ledger.
Mm-hmm.
There are, briefly, I'll just say it real quick here, individual nations will have their own individual central bank digital currency, CBDC. Those are connected to another cryptocurrency, which is a wholesale cryptocurrency for communication between central banks with their CBDCs from sovereign nations, feeding into the BRICS distributed ledger blockchain that is called BRICS M Ledger. Okay. This ledger has its own cryptocurrency. It's called UNIT. You cannot invest in it, you can't buy or sell, it's just for communication of tokenized transactions to be settled between the central banks of countries and BRICS itself. So, all of what we've laid out over the years, all of what you just laid out that was developed in the work groups within Concordia, all of what was developed in the Libra group for cryptocurrencies is reflected in the CBDCs of central banks and the UNIT cryptocurrency for communication to BRICS Central, to their M Ledger system. So what you have here is now the blueprint all the way through our pages of Entangled Magazine, starting in June of 2017 and going all the way through, has culminated for such a time as this, the title of tonight's live stream. All of this is folding in together under the umbrella of BRICS. And that includes the Mark of the Beast. You won't play in the BRICS system unless you've taken the Mark of the Beast.
And this is the way it was always going to go. These wars are just ways of sort of making people feel that there isn't, I think it's just to throw people off track, if you will, so that they don't feel that this is a global collusion. And yet it is global in its movement forward. But they want to make it look like all countries are not in agreement, but this is how it's all going to be brought about. And we have often said that we believe how this looks in the world related to biblically, when we talk about the mortal wound to the beast head, that means the beast system of technology is going to take a hit that is in its communication. Because you think of the head, you think of the brain, you think of how that is the processing center for the human body of all actions, all thoughts, all feelings. So the mortal wound to the beast head is going to be the center where all things, all information transfers to and out from, and that is technology. So there will be a mortal wound that takes down, if you will, this beast system. So.
Yeah, again, we're sort of recapping for new subscribers,
yes,
but
yes.
We've characterized this as the internet being shut down. So the flipping of the switch scenario, we've called it. And when you mention the wars, you can imagine, let's just give a for instance an example. Scripture talks about Damascus, burning in the walls of Damascus. I interpret that as a nuclear attack against Damascus by Israel. We'll see if that plays out that way, but nonetheless, imagine a scenario in which a tactical nuke somewhere in the world detonates. That would be a perfect opportunity to flip the switch, take down the internet, shut down the global economy, bring in the reset. All debts and assets go to zero. The internet is brought back up, the flipping of the switch again. The world marvels at the beast. The mortal head wound is the internet going down. Marvels at the mortal head wound that the beast has arisen from. That's the internet going live again. Then it is communicated that because this nuke or several nukes, whatever it is, went off, that took the internet down. Okay? And now we have a new leader. We have a new global system, economic system, a new system of governance, and so forth and so on.
Yeah, and they may even say that, you know, the BRICS nation has already gone to great extent to pull this new monetary system together on the blockchain, which is something we've been meaning to do before this hit. Since it's already established, let's put our differences aside. We have a global mindset, and there you go. Off goes the modern day version of Babel. One mind, one mindset. Nothing will stop us. That's what they said at Babel. And God said, oh, yeah.
Now, it's funny you mentioned that, because included in the September edition of Entangle Magazine is a side-by-side comparison, a image. And on one side is the Tower of Babel. So an ancient, you know, line drawing of the Tower of Babel as imagined. Okay. On the other side is the headquarters building for the Bank for International Settlements, which is the identical architectural design
of the
Tower of Babel.
Of the ancient picture.
The Bank, the Bank for International Settlements is...
like a ziggurat, is that what they
call it? Well, yeah, I'm not describing the tower, but Bank for International Settlements, in the current system, all cross-border international transactions are settled through this bank, okay? All the central banks of the world feed information into the Bank for International Settlements. That's existing system. In the post-reset environment, in the BRICS environment, this is the BRICS unit system. It is their ledger system. The BIS does not go away, at least not immediately. It is driving BRICS. Everything about BRICS is coming out of the Bank for International Settlements. And this is the setup for the post-reset environment. It will carry over. That's in the magazine. So we give it to you ahead of time.
No, actually, we're late this month. Again.
Yeah, relatively. calendrically wow. speaking.
But. Okay. Anyway, that's all I wanted to speak on and just pop on and say hello. And you're going to now speak to
for a little
the
bit.
Second half.
Bricks. We're going to talk about bricks. Talk about what's in the magazine.
Okay.
All right.
You do that, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
All righty. So, take a commercial break. There are the dogs. Sound asleep. At least they were. The dogs and the cats getting along. So, let's talk about bricks. Let's start with the table of contents for the September issue of the magazine that is going to come out tomorrow. I don't have the cover to post for you because we're still working on that. So here's the table of contents. The new global economic paradigm. I outlined this in a couple of live streams. This is where it is a shift from the debt-based paradigm, which is the current system, shifting to the post-reset under BRICS asset-based global economic paradigm. So I go into that. Again, it's not laborious. I give you the highlights of each of these topics that I'm going to share with you from the table of contents. I go into a little bit of the background on BRICS, what it is, we define it. Then BRICS membership, who's in it, who has come on board, who is slated to join BRICS. Then we talk about gold, briefly. Next area is the unit token itself, the cryptocurrency for the communication of transactions between the central banks and the Bank for International Settlements. That information is conveyed back and forth through the cryptocurrency known as the unit token. It is tokenized transaction data. Next is the Project M-Bridge Ledger. That's from the Bank for International Settlements. Okay, it is the distributed ledger blockchain system, M-Bridge. Next is the Project M-Bridge Interoperability, showing how there is that communication between BIS and the central banks. Then the Bank for International Settlements, I briefly introduce you to some of the details on that. Then I bring in the New York Federal Reserve and the Regulated Liability Network. This is where I introduce, this is the smoking gun, the Federal Reserve and its CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, is a part of BRICS. I'll come back to that in a moment. Then I discuss national sovereignty as it relates to the CBDCs and the BRICS organization and the new M-Bridge Ledger. Then BRICS geopolitics and economics. And lastly, the new development bank, the bank of this system. The Bank for International Settlements is settling transactions. The new development bank, think of it as the venture capital bank for this new system, okay? So I'm going to take you back to the Federal Reserve here. I'm just going to get on camera. I'll just paraphrase from the magazine. The Federal Reserve already has its own Fed coin. Again, we've talked about this for several years. Remember the FedNow program? This is the U.S. Central Bank's CBDC. In terms of sovereignty, every country, even countries that are not part of BRICS yet, will be a part of BRICS post-reset. Every country. Each of those countries already has, even if it's unannounced, their own CBDC waiting in the wings. We hear in the media, mainstream and alternative, that BRICS has nothing to do with the U.S. Federal Reserve, that the U.S. is not invited to join BRICS, that BRICS is there to destroy the U.S. dollar, the de-dollarization of the current debt-based global economic system, the paradigm. Well, it is and it isn't. The Federal Reserve has already been testing the proof of concept system in the Fed that connects and communicates with the M-Bridge. Think of it as a application program interface, an API. It's an application, M-Bridge. The M-Bridge ledger from the BIS is the software that allows the Federal Reserve and all other central banks to communicate their cross-border transactions to the BIS to settle the accounts. When I say settle the accounts, I mean briefly, it's so all parties receive the monies that are due them, okay? When you hear that this is to destroy the U.S. dollar, it is. Is it a movement that can be characterized as de-dollarizing the global economic system, which is a debt-based system? It is, but these are short-term. Remember, this is pre-reset. Already you've seen the decline in the use of the dollar between nations, Saudi Arabia and China for oil, India and China, using their own existing sovereign printed currency for cross-border trade. And those are being settled. In the existing system of communicating, I call it the analog, sort of the email, because that's how it's often described. An emailing of transactions to the BIS for settlement. Well, that analog email system of transaction data will be digitized. It is tokenized in the unit token. The dollar as a reserve currency is under attack, but this is by design. You see, already underway with the de-dollarization, the doing away with the dollar as the reserve currency. And when I say reserve, that means the trade is settled between the two parties as denominated in U.S. dollars. That's what it means. The system is already de-dollarizing. And this is setting up for the new paradigm of an asset-based economic system. The point here is BRICS is already underway. BRICS is already achieving some of its near-term goals, which is to move away from the dollar and go to the existing printed sovereign currencies and the allowance of trade to occur using sovereign currencies. Okay? That's the existing system. What will be different in the new system is rather than printed currencies, there will be digital currencies for cross-border trade. And that information is delivered in the M-Bridge program. The ledger that is held by the Bank for International Settlements, that information is then transmitted in the unit token to the BIS from individual sovereign nation central banks. Okay, let's go to valuation. One of the items is gold in the table of contents. We have published in the past a magazine with a cover that has a basket of currencies, because this is what it is called, a basket of currencies, in which you take the currencies of different nations, you merge them together, and you average out the value of that basket that holds different sovereign currencies. That same model is being used, but it is now a mixture of precious metals, gold, silver, otherwise precious metals, and sovereign currency. It's a 40-60 distribution. I simplify this by focusing on gold. 40% of the basket is gold. 60% of the basket is sovereign CBDC currency from one nation. One basket, one nation. 60% of the basket is the CBDC, 40% is gold. Okay. Again, appreciate that 40% is more than just gold. Silver, precious metals, commodities in general. What I'm describing to you are tangible assets. The 60%, which is CBDC, derives its value in the basket from those commodities, commodities that include gold. So you take the value of the commodities, the 40%, and you average it and come up with a value. That then establishes the value of the 60% of the basket, which is central bank digital currency from one nation. Okay? So you have a cryptocurrency for one nation that now has a value backed up by tangible assets. This takes us into the new paradigm of the new economy post-reset, which is an asset-based paradigm. Okay? Now, if we were to take away the whole beast system from this and the Antichrist and everything that's going on and just look at it from a secular point of view, we might say, sounds benevolent, sounds good, asset-based, true value. We get away from the fiat currencies, like the dollar, that are not based on anything tangible. It's just printed money from the central banks. We get away from that, and we go over to something that has tangible value. I would agree with you. That sounds good, sounds benevolent. But you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual, and vice versa. Kathleen already outlined for you, this is driven by a satanic spirit. This is the Antichrist satanic spirit, that this whole system was designed and built by Satan himself as the economy that is governed, that is ruled by the Antichrist through the mark of the beast. So all these pieces fit in together. Okay. So when we hear about BRICS in any of the media, this magazine gives you just the introduction. There are links out if you want to do some deeper dives, but it gives you snapshots of each of these things that I've listed in the table of contents, so that you're not bogged down in the details. You get the snapshot, you move on, you're getting the excerpts. My goal with this magazine is to provide you a tangible, understandable picture of where the global economy is going. Because you hear about BRICS, and even in the discussions of the conflicts that Russia is engaged in. Because when you hear Russia, as I said, slash Iran, think Russia slash China as partners, slash North Korea as partners in the military discussions, the wars and rumors of wars. Okay? It's interesting, just as a subnote here, Israel is not invited to join BRICS, whereas virtually, from my reading, every other country is invited. They have to meet certain membership criteria, but they're invited. Israel is not. Says to me that Israel's not going to be around post-reset. So this takes us back to the United States. When you hear about BRICS, you're now hearing about it in the context of wars and rumors of wars. When they talk about Russia, when they talk about Ukraine, they talk about Russia, Iran, and Israel, and Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis, and all this other. Now we're hearing about Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, all these countries, Egypt, all coming into the fray in the Middle East. These are all BRICS members. Some of them are about to become, but majority of who I just listed, with the exception of Israel, are BRICS members. So you hear about BRICS when you hear about the wars. It's appropriate that you understand what BRICS is, what makes up BRICS, what are the constituent parts and players of BRICS right now. Because this whole issue of Iran and Israel is being brought to BRICS. The other one, of course, is Ukraine is not invited to BRICS. They're not invited to join. How could I overlook that one? Anyway, I'm trying to move this along very quickly. BRICS, certainly, in the majority of the structure, the goals, the objectives are economic. This is for trade. This is for cooperation rather than conflict. This is the vision of bringing peace to the world through cooperative trade, through multilateral, meaning multiple countries trading with one another, multilateral agreements through BRICS, bringing peace to the world through trade. That's the vision. When you say peace, you also have to look at the flip side, which is warfare, which is conflict. Beginning with the trade agreements, beginning with the membership criteria, the rules and regulations to participate in BRICS, it is understood that this is also for security purposes. This is to prevent conflict, to bring in a new form of diplomacy. Diplomacy for most of the world is dead. Certainly on the part of the United States and Israel, diplomacy doesn't work. Both countries are steeped in warfare and conflict. What the BRICS nations are seeking is economic diplomacy. That's a new form of diplomacy. This isn't the State Department. This isn't the ambassadors. This is diplomacy through trade. Trade agreements, trade discussions leading to agreements, and then once the agreements are in place, working out any particular rough spots or disagreements through trade. Again, sounds good. I'll give them that. But should there be a security issue, This is if they are using the trade agreement as the heavy hammer to suppress conflict, certainly military engaged conflict. Again, rules and regulations in BRICS. You can't make war with another fellow member of BRICS. I'm distilling down and paraphrasing, but you cannot launch a war against another member. This would be like NATO and a member nation of NATO making war with another member of NATO. It's very much the same type of thinking. The Shanghai Cooperative Organization, SCO. This is merging with BRICS. They're the forerunner and the template for BRICS, SCO. So back to the United States and the Fed. You hear BRICS, de-dollarization. This is all about destroying the US dollar. Yes, it is. If you destroy the dollar, you destroy the US economy. Yes, it would, if it got to that point. So I'm going to illustrate for you bringing the United States economy to the brink. We have talked about the US Treasury, the bond market, the largest market on the planet. Countries divesting of their holdings, selling off their holdings of treasuries. That coming to the point where it's at the precipice of collapsing, that treasury market collapsing because people are refusing to buy U.S. debt, bringing it to that precipice, bringing the dollar to the precipice of no longer being accepted in global trade, that precipice. What I'm illustrating to you is that the US dollar is not going to completely collapse. The treasury market, the bond market, is not going to fully collapse. The US economy is not going to fully collapse. The US government is not going to default on its debt obligations. Because the switch is thrown first. The global economy is shut down as a whole before government default, before treasury market collapse, before dollar total collapse occurs. So we are seeing the season, spiritually, biblically speaking. We understand the season we're in, and we can see that these events are coming. You don't have to be a prophet to see these, you just need to pay attention. Now, those examples of coming to the precipice leading up to the flipping of the switch event, we have the wars going on, Ukraine, Middle East. In either of those locations, or maybe both locations, as I said earlier, if a nuke is detonated, this is why you're hearing about all this, the possibility of nukes being used, all of that dialogue that we've even shared here, and we published in last month's August edition, represents bringing to the precipice on the battlefield of nuclear war. My expectation is there will be at least one nuke used on Damascus. That will be the flipping of the switch event. It will be the post-reset excuse broadcast to the world post-reset why the internet went down. And now we have a new global economy. Here's BRICS. We were working on it before. The internet went down, the global economy. The WEF has said since June of 2024, when Klaus Schwab said we have a narrow window of opportunity for a global reset, and you will own nothing and be happy for it. All of that 4 years ago, setting up for such a time as this. So they bring us on the military front to the precipice of nuclear warfare, nuclear exchange between the nuclear powers. They only need one. They only need one as an excuse for the internet globally to go down. Could there be other nukes that are used? Could the U.S. be virtually decimated? Certainly, obviously, it could be. Again, the discussion of where is the United States found in the Bible? And in the last live stream, we were talking about Babel. The United States as Babel. So I think it's timely that this month's magazine, when I say this month's, I mean September, is focused on BRICS. The world is focused on BRICS. I've been saying for several months that I thought Russia would try to bring the special military operation in Ukraine to an end before the BRICS meeting on October 22nd. I'm not deviating from that. There have been more and more statements in the last few days that have come out from Putin indicating that he wants to bring this SMO to a quick conclusion. He can do that fairly quickly, and it doesn't necessarily have to be some massive military campaign to bring it to a conclusion. Much has been said about, well, the United States could bring it to a close by refusing to send any more money and send any more armaments, etc., etc. Or to simply pick up the phone and call Zelensky and say, it's done. Take off, go to your villa, whatever it is. Go. The war's over. The United States has the power to do that. Putin likewise has the ability to do that. And I think he will. We've outlined the military capacity of Russia, not to glorify it, but just to report on it. Obviously, they're in a, strategically speaking, they're in a much more powerful position, even over and above the West, NATO and the United States. Putin can dictate the terms. Tomorrow morning, we could wake up and hear that Putin has declared an end to the conflict. He will continue to occupy the territory that he's gained, but simply say, we are no longer attacking the West, which includes Ukraine. Our troops are non-combatant occupiers. They will defend themselves if you want to continue shooting, but we are not going on the offense. As far as we are concerned, as Russia, the war is over. That would bring it to an end. He could bring it to an end before the BRICS summit. He does not want a conflict going on when all these nations come together So I think he's going to end the conflict. He doesn't need to nuke anybody. He doesn't need to, you know, destroy Kiev. He just needs to declare it. And I think he will. But what about the Middle East? What about the unpredictability of Netanyahu? That's a wild card. Ukraine's one thing, because that's physically impacting Russian sovereign territory. The Middle East is not directly impacting Russian sovereign territory. But most of the Middle East, the countries in the Middle East, are part of BRICS, are participating in BRICS, including Iran. They joined, I think it was in, it's in the magazine, I think it was January of this year. At any rate, Iran does not want to be engaged in a war with Israel with the BRICS meeting going on. You see, it's I find it interesting. I've said several times here, the common denominator that brings Ukraine and the Middle East together is the United States. The common denominator now in terms of peace is Russia and the BRICS members. If peace is declared in the Ukraine, does that necessarily dictate peace in the Middle East? I think not. Here's, I'll cut to the chase. I think the Middle East is going to explode. I do expect Damascus to be nuked. Will that happen before October 22nd? It's possible. At the accelerated rate at which Netanyahu is escalating things, look at what's going on right now in southern Lebanon. Look what's going on in Beirut right now. Look what's going on in Syria on the coast ports with the Russian aircraft and ammo delivered to Syria. That was, I would expect that was to be in support of Hezbollah, because it was delivered into the northern border of Lebanon in Syria. This is why I think Israel attacked those three ports. If Damascus is nuked before October 22nd, and the switch is thrown and the internet goes down, that denies communications around the world for how long? Probably a few days. Then the internet and the communications come back online. And at that point, because the internet went down, the conflict in the Middle East, I think, would come to a grinding halt during the time of the reset, the blackout. This will take out satellite communications. The ability to wage war will come to a halt. It's possible. I really am reticent to set timelines, but it is this common denominator of BRICS that appears to be bringing these conflicts to a conclusion. These countries, including Russia, are more focused, have set as their highest priority. Their number one priority is not peace, it's BRICS. The success of BRICS, because remember, they're being driven by an Antichrist spirit. Satan knows he has but a short time. They have to get this infrastructure, this new asset-based economic system up and running as soon as possible. So I'll conclude by saying this. It is my expectation that first peace will be declared by Putin with regard to the SMO in Ukraine, that the Middle East will continue to escalate over the next few days, and sometime between now and October 22nd, I mean, I'm way out on a limb here, way out on a limb, but it's possible. I guess I have to take a red pen and underline that. Possible that Damascus will be nuked before the BRICS meeting on October 22nd. I try to look at it logically and therefore strategically. I'm no military expert, okay? I'm just looking at it and sharing it with you. If things unfold completely differently, then I'm wrong. But at least I've shared it with you. Think of it sort of scientifically as a thought experiment, okay? A hypothetical, perhaps nothing more than that. But we know the season we are in, and these events are for such a time as this. God bless you all, and good night.